Welcome to Super Action Bros Podcast, to talk about movies with explosions and foot chases.
There's a lot of foot chases. And a man throwing another man off of a motorcycle and jumping on instantly and in a very punching. Bruce Willis red style way, but better because they're superheroes.
Lots of hitting.
Yeah, lots of hitting. And a man in a metal suit fighting a man with a shield, which if you pitch the movie like that, it sounds really silly.
Yeah. Because they're angry. Because they won't talk about their feelings.
Speaking of angry, Ryan and I are angry at each other. And that's why we're having a civil war.
I'm the North. Well, it means I'm in the right.
Oh. Well, I don't. Yeah. Why'd you put me in this position?
No, it's a different civil war. This is
North.
This is Star Wars versus Star Trek or something.
Someone out there is shouting Game of Thrones at this, and I'm like,
I don't know what that is. Is that Throne of Swords show?
Cersei Lannister. All right, so welcome to, I almost said welcome to Game of Thrones, but that's not at all what this is. Welcome to Super Action Bros, the third to last episode, maybe fourth to last, depending on when Spider-Man decides to come to home video.
Yeah. Super Action, SAB MCU.
Yeah, Super Action Bros go through the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this time, Ryan has never seen this. This is his first time.
Yeah, this is it. We've passed the horizon of knowledge or something.
And this is Ryan's first time watching Captain America Civil War.
Or as I call it, Iron Man 4, Captain America 3, Avengers 2.5, Civil War.
Featuring Ant-Man.
And a cameo by Spider-Man from upcoming movie Spider-Man Homecoming. Out summer 2017.
Yeah, buy your tickets now. And IMAX and RPX. So before we get into that, I'm not gonna lie, boys and girls, we definitely might have talked a little about it off mic, but I didn't get Ryan's opinion on a lot of things that
we couldn't avoid it. I was too jacked about it.
We both are wearing Captain America shirts today, and I looked over at him because we worked together.
Just randomly.
And I go, well, I guess we both know whose side we were on that movie.
Iron Man.
Really?
No. I'm wearing a Captain America shirt.
All right.
Well, I don't own an Iron Man shirt.
I used to have one, but I
know you do.
I don't have one anymore. I don't know where it is. Also, I would have worn it.
You burned it.
I don't have them anymore. Too small. Got too
Cap
fat.
Cap was right.
Too fat. Before we get into the movie, a couple ways you can reach out to our show. Easiest way to do that is to go to our website, stuffandthingsnetwork.com. Go there, click on the Super Action Bros artwork, and you can listen to the show right there on the website. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. You can also reach out to us on social media. We have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Letterboxd, so all that there. You can also reach out to us individually, so if you want to tell me why you think that Captain America is right or it's Iron Man's wrong or vice versa, you can reach out to me, Ian, at irich. That's at irich. I'll talk to you about two superheroes fighting.
Yeah, my name's Ryan. I lost track of what we were talking about.
Your Twitter.
If you want to talk to me on the internet, I'm at Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also email us. There's a contact us button on the front page of the website. Go ahead and fill out the form there. Shoot us an email and tell us why you think that Captain America was right or wrong or
Iron Man
or whatever.
Right. Or maybe you think that Black Panther was right.
Yeah. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan.
Yeah.
Captain America Civil War. It's been a long time.
Yeah, boy, I watched it. I finally seen that movie that everybody was talking about.
I watched it for the second time. I've owned this since it came out.
You've only seen it twice?
I've only seen it twice.
In the theaters and then now, last night.
Yep, correct.
Wow, I've only seen it once. So you've only seen it one more time than me.
Yeah, it's true. And I every time I thought about watching it again, I'm just like, but it was such a heavy... It was like fun, but it's still a heavy experience. It's like... I hope this is as... Well, it's not going to be as dark because I know there's some footage out there of Thanos throwing a moon at somebody.
That's what I heard.
But I mean, that sounds awesome, though. But like, this was the same... To put context into this movie, when I saw it, it was 1 year ago.
Yes.
And this was the same summer that the DC had their big superhero movie too.
Yeah.
Where two superheroes were fighting each other.
Yeah, it was interesting. Last summer was the summer of two superheroes fighting.
It's almost like they heard about that and they copied.
Ironically, it was also the year of the election.
So
I actually thought that those were very slightly linked.
Probably. But you haven't watched Batman versus Superman, but
I
stand by this theory now watching this again, that Batman versus Superman is how to do a superhero movie with multiple heroes and plot threads wrong. And this movie is how to do it right.
All right.
In the sense that We'll get into it more in depth, but I think there are a couple points that this movie does well that Batman versus Superman doesn't do well.
Yeah, I don't have a frame of reference there.
I can explain the difference without giving away plot spoilers, but sure. It's more so in the construction of the movie and the way that the script was written and things like that. So anyway, let's get into it though. So who made this movie, Ryan?
Sure. It was directed by the Russo brothers. Mm-hmm. They were also the directors of Captain America 2, Captain America...
The Winter Soldier.
They also, before that, they worked on a bunch of episodes of Community. They directed a bunch of episodes of Arrested Development. They were TV.
Agent Carter looks like.
Yeah, they were TV directors, actually. Mm-hmm. Also the director of You, Me, and Dupree.
Mm-hmm. And they are doing the upcoming Infinity War as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, Marvel owns them forever now.
They seem happy.
Well, yeah, why not? They're paying you a lot of money. Yeah, they're directing both in Avengers Infinity War and the illustriously named Untitled Avengers movie.
Because apparently giving the title away would
spoil the whole situation.
I'm calling it Secret Wars. I'm calling it right now.
Avengers Agent. Wait, what's the other one? I think it's the Secret Invasion. That's what I think they're going
Could be with. That. That might make sense.
And then it was written by Stephen McFeely and Christopher Marcus, who you may recognize from writing a lot of the other Avengers movies.
Yes.
Pretty much Winter Soldier and Civil War and Thor 2. And so they've been involved
for a while.
Yeah. It's at this point. We've talked about this a couple of times, but at this
Marvel point... Marvel is a well-oiled machine at this point.
Not only are they a well-oiled machine, but they're going from the tried and true and very successful TV method. They're doing kind of a writer's room.
Yeah.
And you can tell also that the reason they're doing that is because the integrations between the movies is a little stronger. And also, they're using TV directors. They're using people who are used to directing in this style where they have a lot of disparate elements that have to come together.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of different plot threads. Mm-hmm. And this, I've been joking. I joked with my wife, but I was like, oh man, that was a series premiere of
series finale. No,
it wasn't series finale. It was definitely like season premiere of phase 3.
Yeah.
Season premiere of the third season. Man, that was a hell of a season premiere.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel
that way. And really, like, having watched all of these over the last couple of months, it really feels more like these movies are slowly becoming more and more like prestige TV than they are like action movies.
I mean, and that's probably why they're doing so well, let's be honest. People
like that stuff.
I don't hear really people talking about any movies anymore like they used to. Like they mostly talk about Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad a few years
ago, Westworld
or Stranger Things. There's all these like TV shows now. It was crazy. I was watching something on about like the Emmys, like the shows that are nominated for like Emmys, and like 3 of the 4 of them are not on major networks. They're all digital streaming.
Yeah.
So Stranger Things, like Handmaid's Tale, all that is all television. So why not get those people, especially when you're working with a serialized medium anyway, like comics, where things are going to tie together, why not get people like that to do it? So it makes sense.
But it does sort of for someone who is occasionally could be considered like a film purist.
Yeah.
It does sort of It takes away. There's not this cinematic impact. It's not like I'm sure Tarantino. It annoys the hell out.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Absolutely, you know? But it's a different type of thing. Like when I go into a Marvel movie now is almost like or superhero movie in general. Anything where I know there's going to be some sort of shared universe.
Yeah,
I know going into it. This is going to be like a serial. Like my brain
wait to see the next episode.
Yeah, my brain prepares myself for, oh, this isn't a standalone movie. Like anything, especially anything involving a superhero. I absolutely know now they're not going to do those standalone superhero movies anymore. At least unless it's like, you know, not Marvel or DC. Like there's a Spawn Hellboy, movie or something or Hellboy or something. And even then, they'll probably tie into some other characters from that universe.
I hear Hellboy's going to be in the DC Injustice video game as a new bonus character.
All right.
Why not?
Okay, sure.
Somebody's making some money.
I mean, I'd watch Superman and
No, you get to be that's Superman. That's what I'm saying.
I'd watch
Hellboy
Superman
and
Hellboy fight. That'd be great.
There you go.
So, okay, let's talk
Superman's weak against magic.
That's true. Let's talk about...
the people in this movie.
Because boy, howdy, are there a lot.
It's basically... And the reason I called it, I've been calling it Avengers 3 all day, and everybody's been calling, no, it's Avengers 2.5. And I finally was like, well, why? And it's because it doesn't have Thor and Hulk in it. And that's it. They're the only ones who are not in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody Thor and Hulk aren't in this movie. Literally everybody but them and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, are in this movie.
I mean, so we've got the, you know, Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr.
And
well, I mean, so let's talk about him. Chris Evans, he gets the biggest bicep role he's had.
Yeah.
Where he gets to just
hold a helicopter. And the ladies swoon. Oh man, there's
we're
so
watching
many.
That scene and I'm just sort of like laughing at it. My wife turns to me, she's all, this scene's for the ladies.
It is. Look how strong he is.
Oh man, it's sure. Apparently I was reading that in the production they always like when they had T-shirts for his character to wear, they always chose them like several sizes too small on purpose. And he was like, "What the heck, guys?" And they're like, "No, this is what we want.
This is come on." They drag their ladies here. If they're not like, because there's odds
like
are
Chris
the
Evans.
Superhero girls are already coming. They already are on board. But we need to get the other ones, which are like when I saw this movie, the girls who were sitting behind me. I have a story when I saw this movie in the theater.
Oh boy!
But they were definitely those kind of girls who were like. Dragged by like who probably have seen some of the Marvel movies, but probably their boyfriends or whoever.
Well, now we know most people haven't seen Ant-Man.
Yeah,
so they were like, "Oh, it's that guy from What Hot American
Paul
Summer.
Rudd. He's funny." Yeah. No, people know who Paul Rudd is. They're like, "Oh, it's I Love You, Man."
Oh, see, I haven't seen that.
See, that's a lot of people have seen. I've seen that.
Yeah, it's that guy from.
I'd be really shocked. They're like, "Oh, it's the guy from Clueless." I'd be like, "What?"
He is in Clueless.
Yeah, he is.
But okay, so we're getting down the weeds. So Chris Evans is in this movie.
Yeah,
Robert Downey Jr.
I think Robert Downey Jr. in this movie. I'll be honest. This sounds weird.
Uh huh.
But like Robert Downey Jr. gets very little time in this movie to be funny.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And you can look at that one of two ways. Either that is bad because you like funny Tony Stark, or that is good because you're seeing a different side of Tony Stark.
Well, and I think that without him being funny, you sort of realize he's kind of just a butthole.
Yeah, I think also it means, like, here's the thing. Tony Stark is the kind of guy who always has a joke, no matter what. And so when you see him not joking, for some weird reason, maybe this is just me being a fanboy, but like it makes it feel more serious. Like this is really dire.
This is a really serious movie.
It is. But it's still fun though. But it's still fun. The action sequences in this movie are great.
And the reason I started calling this movie Iron Man 4 Captain America 3 is because he is in this movie almost as much as Captain America. It is barely a Captain America movie. Literally, Chris Evans has 36 minutes of screen time. And Robert Downey Jr. has 34 minutes of screen time.
I don't disagree with that. However, I will argue this movie is a Captain America-driven plot. It is not necessarily an Avengers-driven plot.
Yeah, no, and it's not really a Tony Stark-driven plot.
No, it's about what it's
about Cap and what he wants.
Well,
but
it's also about But it's also about Cap's relationship with the two most important people in his life.
That's one of the plot threads.
Yeah, but
that's
about a dozen plot threads. That's what it ends up being all about at the end of the movie.
Kind
of. I mean, it's like, well, it comes down to two guys. It really what it is. If you really want to be real about it and really cut to the chase, it's. Well, who's your best friend?
Yeah.
That's really what it is. He's like,
guys, to a certain extent.
This is my old buddy. I got to figure out what happened. You're spending too much time with your other new friend.
Well, it's just like, look.
I'm Iron
Man. Look, we're men. We're not going to talk about it. We're just going to hit each other.
Yeah.
We're going to knock buildings down and cause collateral damage.
I got to see Iron Man shoot his chest beam at Captain America's shield like in the comic. Oh, and that's man. All. Come on. That's a great shot.
Sure. No, it's good.
It's visual eye candy. Okay.
Scarlett Johansson's in this.
Of course.
Of course, she's the Black Widow. There's great in the cold open.
Mm-hmm.
It's great where every character is wearing body armor and she's in like a tasteful leather jacket and she's kicking the most butt.
Yeah.
That was a good scene. But besides that, she just plays Black Widow.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Bucky Barnes is in this.
So this is more, this is a pretty heavy Bucky movie.
Yeah. This is the heaviest Bucky movie considering that the Winter Soldier he's in barely at all.
Yeah.
This one you could have called the Winter Soldier.
I mean,
But then instead the movie would be called Iron Man 4, Captain America 3, Avengers 2.5, The Winter Soldier, Civil War.
Oh, God. Anthony Mackie is back.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the bits of levity in this movie.
And they have...
And his wings are colorful now, slightly, and much more versatile.
Bird costume.
And he's got...
I enjoyed that. Bird costume?
Yeah, that was good.
And he's got his little falcon.
Yeah.
What's his name? Red Wing? Is that what they call him?
Except this time it's a drone and not an actual falcon.
Which, I mean, okay.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
Yeah. I mean, in this
2017.
If he's a tech hero, let's go with it. Okay, we have Don Cheadle back.
Yeah. Some stuff happens
poor
to Don Cheadle.
Poor Rhodey.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And of course, you know, the one guy who gets actually hurt in this movie is a black guy. moving on, Jeremy Renner.
By another black guy.
Yeah, fair. Well, I mean, no, he gets.
Because he dodges. But he did. But he just would have let Vision hit him.
But it's the Vision.
That's a robot.
Yeah.
He felt pretty bad about it.
Jeremy Renner shows up late to the game.
Yeah.
And is just, it almost feels like they were like, well, shoot, when are we going to put him in that movie? Well, let's just have him show up and say, Cap needs us.
That seems
done.
Right. Yeah.
Print it.
Why not?
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be any complexity there. No. So new person in the movie, man. Chadwick Boseman.
Let's talk about how awesome Black Panther is, though. Like for everything you can say is bad about this movie, is a good thing in my mind.
Oh yeah,
well, he is great.
Black Panther is awesome in this movie.
Yeah,
he's good. He's this sort of unknown third factor for a lot of the movie.
Yeah,
and it really works because otherwise, I think the Iron Man, Captain America thing would have gotten real stale real fast. Him being sort of this complicating factor, who has his own agenda, I think is good. I think it's a very useful element to it. He's great. He's the one who has the most emotion out of anybody.
That's true. Well, because his dad
gets fridged real early.
And a lot of it too. It's another, like, I know this sounds maybe weird to say that he's like the closest thing to an audience surrogate in this movie, but he kind of is he's the new guy, but he's also like, look, how would you feel if you thought this guy, you wouldn't care whose friend he was. You wouldn't care. You'd be like, I'm going after that dude.
So he's the new viewer surrogate. Yeah.
And then he finds out that, like, well, this dude didn't really do it.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, so I need, but as silly as that conversation is, I love that conversation he has with Zemo at the end where they're sitting in the snow and he's like, you know, all of you have let vengeance consume you and I'm done with this crap. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, he changes. He grows and evolves. One person does in this movie.
Stops crying. Well.
No, just
that's
the one.
True. That's true.
Yeah, so at least one person has sort of like substantial character change. It's the new guy.
It's true.
It's also, so one of the things I like to talk about in sequels, and this is unquestionably a sequel to at least three different movies.
Yes.
One of the things that I like to talk about in sequels is escalation.
Yes.
And this, Black Panther and also Spider-Man, Black Panther specifically, represents a specific type of escalation, which is Captain America has been the only guy like that. There's Thor, who's not even a dude. He's an alien from another universe.
Yeah.
And then Captain America is the only guy who's a human who can do the things that he does.
Right.
And then this guy shows up.
Yeah.
And he can toe-to-toe with Captain America.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, there's
he
more.
He scratches his shield, for goodness sake.
Yeah, like he's, it's the, you know, if you could make a god bleed from Iron Man 2. But I mean, like, that's the thing. It shows that, like, Captain America isn't the only dude who's a super strong dude now.
Right.
And then we get Spider-Man later, and Spider-Man full-on punches Captain America in the face and knocks him back. And it's just like, whoa, I thought Captain America was the unstoppable dude.
Yeah.
And this is the first time somebody has been able to stop him.
Right.
Besides Thor. But I think Thor's kind of an outlier because he doesn't really count.
Paul Bettany's back as a Vision.
Yeah. And it's just sort of wearing his cashmere sweaters and being a creep.
I did like that he was wearing that outfit.
I guess they modeled his wardrobe when he's not in Vision wear, which is basically naked for him. Does that mean he flies around naked?
Pretty much. And then he's a robot. He's home, there's not really any naked.
When he's at home, he puts on tasteful slacks and a cashmere sweater.
I guess so.
They modeled that after Cary Grant's wardrobe.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
And then,
which means no undershirts.
And then Elizabeth Olsen back there. They're hinting at the... Okay, so in the comics, Scarlet Witch and Vision fall in love. And they kind of hint at this a little bit.
Yeah, no, but I think that the reason he ends up hitting Rhodey and he's like, I'm distracted. And he's like, Iron Man says, I didn't know you'd get distracted. And he says, I didn't either. It's because he's in love.
Yep.
And he's worried that she got an ouch.
Yeah.
She got an owie.
Yep.
Yeah, he's worried about her.
Yeah, he's growing.
But no, she has an interesting arc in this movie too, because she's sort of like the newbie who is not confident in her own skills.
Well, and she kind of causes an incident in the beginning, not on purpose, but just like she takes a lot of that on.
But she does it. But she ends up sort of, I don't know. I feel like very much that she just sort of does what other people tell her.
Yeah.
Like there's that part where, like, she's clearly torn between do I go with Hawkeye or do I stay with Vision?
Yeah.
And then he electrocutes the Vision. She's like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to go with Hawkeye.
Well,
I mean, yeah. And then she has to, and then she takes the Vision and throws him to the center of the earth. but
It's going to cost a lot of money to fix those floors. That's all I kept thinking. I'm like,
no, the vision will just do with his brain. How
many floors? No, he can't fix that.
Can he?
No.
He can do anything.
I mean, they could make him fix it. Like, sure. Here's the parts. Here fix you it. Get you it don't done. Need sleep.
He's a robot. Yeah. Free labor.
Okay, so Paul Rudd.
Yeah, so Paul Rudd shows up.
Also bringing some levity.
He's there specifically as comic relief.
I love that part where he goes, I don't know why. It's when he grabs the shield and he goes, I believe this is yours, Captain America. Like the way he says it, it's like, oh, you're such a dork.
I like the part where he meets Captain America. He's like, oh, wow. And then he like feels his biceps.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good little bit.
I'm shaking your hand way too long. Hey, I know you. You're great. Love Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
And also... Paul Rudd probably has one of the coolest moments in this movie.
Which, he does a lot of cool stuff. He rides the arrow. It's classic.
But the one part that we've never seen him do that I was hoping would come around either here or in the Ant-Man sequel, they decided like, we'll do it here.
Oh, he gets big.
Giant Man? Oh man. Or Giant Man, however you want to say it.
I really love the prep for that scene where he's like, I've done it once before and then I passed out. So
in a lab.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens here.
Oh man, yeah, so he turns into a giant guy and stomps around. That was
great.
That was a great bit. Tears the wing off an airplane and hits somebody with
it. That's the kind of thing that I was.
What I wanted.
A Lego set spoiled that for me.
Yeah, it's true.
But I don't care. It was awesome to watch.
Spoiled it for everybody.
The Lego set was great. Who cares?
It was still cool.
It was great. That's one of my favorite moments in this movie is when they're all trying to take down Giant Man.
Yeah, I like when he shrinks down back to human size and he asks if anybody has any orange slices.
Orange slices. So Emily Van Camp, who was in Captain America 2.
Yeah, she was.
They kind of like...
She was in this movie. She's been in a lot of stuff.
She has one job in this movie. Can you guess what it is?
She's the helper.
I would even say less than that. I can give her more credit. And I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm just saying the way the character's written, they could have done a lot more with her, but they chose not to.
Yeah.
Would have loved to see her and like Black Widow fight because they're both like secret agents and both are like... Not because they're both ladies, but because they're both secret agents. And I don't know, it would be kind of cool to have like a secret agent lady
fight. Well, so.
But it turns out Black Widow's not really against Captain America.
Well, no, it's complicated.
It's a complicated situation. It's
actually, I kind of like that scene where she and Hawkeye are fighting. Black Widow and Hawkeye are fighting. And she's like, are we still friends? And he's like, it depends on how hard you hit me. And then somebody else does something and hurts her. And they're like, oh, you were pulling your punches. And he's like, he just gives the look like, yeah, of course I was. We're friends. Like, I've said like too many times the last 30 seconds. I feel.
Oh, Marvel messed up. I just realized something.
I feel that.
I'll tell you when we get to it.
Sure. I feel that Hawkeye is the only one in this movie who thinks to himself like, hey, we're not like really fighting though, right? Like we're all still pals.
Yeah.
Like literally the only one
I did enjoy that moment,
who when like, they're all fighting is like it's the side people come in when they're fighting. So I think Ant-Man, I think Hawkeye, and I think Spider-Man are all like, well, you know, like we're just messing around. Like this isn't like I'm not actually trying to kill that dude. But everybody else is so angry.
Can we talk about Ian's favorite Marvel superhero that Ryan doesn't seem to like?
No, we haven't finished talking about Sharon Carter.
Okay.
So Sharon Carter.
So her one role in the movie
is
to say the Captain America line from the comic.
Yeah. Because they couldn't Peggy have Captain Carter America say it. Yeah.
It's a great line though. It's true. It's great. I've seen it on the internet quite a bit recently.
No, you move. Yeah. And then her other role is to kiss Captain America in a completely unearned scene.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the worst.
It even struck me as weird. I'm like,
they just wanted to get a kiss in there.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I think contractually he has to get a kiss in each movie.
I would have rather see. And the thing is, if I was writing it, I would have made a joke. Like, I know they. I don't know if they ever did. Did they ever make the joke in Captain America 2, like where he asked her out on a date? I don't think he really does. Does he?
He was gonna, and then it turns out that she works for the.
Well, he should have done it there. Like, so date when this is over.
Yeah. Well, and then they don't even mention it in the movie, but in the credits when they show her name, the shadow of it is the number 13 because she's also known as Agent 13 from classic Marvel comics. Yeah. But they don't even let her do that.
I think they called her. Did they call her in Soldier?
I don't think they do. I think they just called her Sharon, and then everybody's like, "Oh, maybe it's Sharon Carter." And then, like, literally all she does in this movie is she gives him a file, and she gives a speech, and then she gives him a file, and then later she gives him his shield and the other thing, the, you know, the wings, and then she kisses him, and that's it. That's her entire involvement in the movie. She gives him stuff.
That's true.
All she does is give and give and give.
All right.
So next up, Tom Holland plays a wonderfully awkward Spider-Man.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to argue this point, and I've said it before. I think this is the truest cinematic Spider-Man we have had.
No, it's good.
I think he is solid.
I really liked Spider-Man in this movie.
And it's funny, I was talking about those girls sitting behind me.
Uh-huh.
And when we were watching this movie, and I love the way this movie does it too, where it shows like, it's like this area. And then at one point, they're like, Tony Stark's like, I have an idea. And it says Queens. They cut to like a shot of Queens. It's Queens. I'm like, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
And he's coming home and he's got like a crappy DVD player and he's talking with the hottest version of Aunt May ever, Marissa Tomei.
To be fair, Marissa Tomei is in her 50s. So.
She still looks great.
And ironically, I thought it was funny where they're like, she and Tony Stark are flirting super hardcore.
Yeah.
She used to be married to Robert Downey Jr.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that works out. I wonder if they're still like, I wonder if like pals are they're okay.
I hope so.
Anyway, but these girls behind me, they did this whole thing where they're like, that's not Spider-Man. I want to be like, you be quiet. That is the best Spider-Man in a movie.
You
I've
were
ever
talking
seen.
Back to people in a movie. I was saying that in your head.
In my head, but Chewie was next to me and he heard them say it and he looked over at me like, don't. And I was like, ooh, like, don't you know this kid? Because I was ready to be like, okay, let's watch them get this wrong again. And they didn't.
Now, you know what my favorite thing about Spider-Man is? How much he's geeking out about fighting people.
Yeah,
but
he's a kid.
Full on holding his own, punching Captain America. And then I love the bit where he takes down Ant-Man. He's like, guys, you remember that really old movie?
Yeah, that's what I told you. That's my favorite joke in the movie.
Here's my perspective of that. It's not that he doesn't think that Empire Strikes Back is a new movie. Or it's not that he doesn't know anything about Empire Strikes Back. Clearly, he's probably a huge Star Wars nerd because of course he is. But it's that he's like, oh man, I'm definitely way younger than everybody else here. I'm going to drag them all.
Well, I also think too,
and he's just hardcore making fun of them.
I don't think it's necessarily just that either. I think the other side of it is, oh, I can't let them know I'm so nerdy that I know the name of the planet and the AT-AT walkers. They gotta think I'm cool. So I gotta be like, oh, the snow planet, you know?
Nah, but the way he does it, he's like, remember that really old movie? Like, that's, I know because I have nephews and nieces who are like, oh yeah, you guys watched, you watched that ancient Ninja Turtles movie? I'm like, it's not that old. They're like, it's 25 years old. I'm like, yeah, it is. Ninja Turtles 2 is 25 years old.
But I thought they just got it all right. They finally got it right.
Oh, are those wings carbon fiber? Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I love that line too. You know, in fights, there normally isn't this much talking. I'm like, oh yeah, he's calling him out on his crap. The cutest moment though was where are you from? You got some spunk here. Where are you from? Queens, Brooklyn. I love that little back and forth. And also with the post credit scene where, who gave you that black eye, Peter? Oh, it's this guy named Steve. Don't worry, I got a few good looks in on him too.
Yeah, it's from Brooklyn.
So good.
And he had this really big guy with him. Really big. Yeah. That was pretty
it's
good.
It's cute. And like
it makes me want to see that Spider-Man movie, even though I've previously talked about how I'm not crazy about Spider-Man.
Because this is the Spider-Man that you like what he's in. I think that you relate to the same reason you like Ultimate Spider-Man. I don't think it's that you don't like Spider-Man. I think it's you like him being a kid and
I like
being
high school Spider-Man.
Yeah, you like him when he's not really Spider-Man, but he's calling himself that because he's, you know.
Yeah.
That's
what are you, Spider-Boy?
Spiderling.
Yeah, Spiderling.
So good. It's
Spider-Man. Okay.
I love that back and forth relationship with him and Robert Downey Jr. too. Yeah, and like with cute. Tony Stark, it's great. Like, I don't know. I really am glad they got this right. It was very, very important for them to get it right. And they did. This kid knocks it out of the park. The writing is well done. It was like a great little happy preview. That's why I was so excited. Now you understand. I was so
excited
about the Spider-Man
so hard.
Movie.
So I was reading about this. So originally, Spider-Man had more of what Black Panther does.
Uh-huh.
But then they weren't sure that they were going to get Spider-Man, so they rewrote it to be Black Panther. Uh-huh. And then they finally did get Spider-Man. They're like, well, we're just going to throw him in a little bit.
I mean,
but then they were so excited about it that two of the magic words that reactivates the Winter Soldier's evil mind control are Homecoming and 17.
Right.
As if they're saying like, hey guys, guess what?
But the thing is like, yeah, it does feel like they threw him in there. Like that's the thing. And that goes back to my DC thing. When it comes to Batman versus Superman, you can tell they decided in that movie like, oh yeah, we should probably mention the Justice League characters. We should probably throw him in there.
Yeah.
But like, or Wonder Woman, put Wonder Woman in there. But they never really talk about why she's important in any way.
Well, but it
they
also
don't really give her much character. And here they did the same thing with Spider-Man, but like, okay, we're gonna make this work, and they did
jam a lot of character in a little bit.
They did,
but it also feels very much like the season premiere of a new season of a show. It's like, here's this new guy, can't wait to see more of him. Wait till later.
Yeah. So okay, let's keep going.
We're halfway through the cast.
We'll be here all night talking about Spider-Man.
Daniel Brühl.
Okay.
As Zemo, yes. I did not expect them going that direction of Zemo. Totally no powers, just there to screw with people because he's mad, because revenge. Although, interestingly enough, what I thought was interesting was somebody was pointing out that like the original Baron Zemo was like an actual Nazi.
Yeah.
And so in this movie, he talks about his dad. And so somebody was like, well... Or, you know, he talks about his granddad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so his granddad could have been the original Baron Zemo.
Sure.
And he could be the new one.
I think that, like... But I like that this isn't a character... Honestly, it's a villain you can't punch.
Yeah, that's what's perfect about it.
That's why it works so well.
And that's the only way it would work, because Captain America's too busy punching everybody else.
And this guy's smart, because way to stop the Avengers is to break him from the inside.
But I mean, writing-wise, they couldn't have thrown it... Like, if they had just thrown in another character that you got to punch, it would have been too much. It would have been stupid.
Exactly.
This is the only way that it sort of stands alone and sets him apart as the ultimate bad guy.
Right.
I'm the guy pitting everybody against each other. Not like I'm a guy who's going to come in and mix it up and do some more face punching.
So a couple other ones. There's two now more gets, other ones.
Yeah, there's a few other ones.
William Hurt back as Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah, hey, showing up from the Hulk movie.
What? They're like, oh yeah, you always thought we forgot about that, didn't you? Yeah, no, we didn't.
And then speaking of people whose last names are Ross, characters whose last name are Ross, Martin Freeman is just sort of there. For like 30 seconds.
He's going to be more in Black Panther from what I understand.
Clearly he is.
It's kind of the
he's
same
not
way
at all related to Thunderbolt Ross. No. They just decided to give them both the same last name.
I guess, and also too, I mean, I guess it's kind of like the way Andy Serkis was in Age of Ultron. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, that's going to be more a Black Panther thing. Yeah. Wait till we get there.
Frank Grillo shows back up as Crossbones.
Yes.
So this time his face is all jacked up and he's got magic punching machines.
Yep.
He's a good
like, hey, this is, we need an opening villain.
Yeah.
Let's use that guy.
Yeah, it's better than using Batroc the Leaper.
Right.
Marissa Tomei, we mentioned, shows up. John Slattery. He's back as Howard Stark, and then he dies.
And Hope Davis, who I've seen in other things. I've seen her in a lot of stuff. She's one of those that lady actresses. Like, I've seen her.
Yeah. Speaking of that lady actress, Alfre Woodard, who shows up as the mom. She's the instigator on the Tony Stark side.
So Marvel made an oopsie.
Oh, did they?
She's also appeared in another Marvel Universe related thing.
Oh, yeah?
It's not in the movies. She plays Black Mariah in Luke Cage series.
Oh, interesting.
So I was like, I know where I know you from. I feel like people confuse you for Viola Davis a lot.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And I was like, but where do I know you from? Because I know your face. Like, I've watched a lot of it.
She's also in the Netflix series of Unfortunate Events.
Yes, it's true.
She's really good in that.
She was very good in that. But I was like, I know your face from somewhere. And then I looked up her IMDb here. I'm like, you're Black Mariah from Luke Cage. I'm like, Marvel made an oopsie.
Yeah,
or they saw that and they're like, she was a really good actress.
She is a good actress.
Let's give her some more, a bigger role. She's really good in Luke Cage. Other than that, not too much. That's pretty much it as far as people go.
Yep, there's a lot of... I mean, like, it's an enormous cast. This movie cost more than $250 million dollars. Like, they did a lot of work.
So, Ryan, I will ask you.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually pretty straightforward.
Sure.
What is the MacGuffin of this?
All right.
Well, first of all, what is a MacGuffin, right?
Yeah, we talk about MacGuffins a lot of times. We use it really loosely. It generally means sort of the thing every
After 33
to get.
Minutes of getting through the cast. We talked a lot about the action sequences,
we
too.
Did.
We'll retouch on them, though. It's
the thing,
something we haven't talked about.
But, the MacGuffin is the thing that people are trying to get in the movie. The driving force, the Ark of the Covenant, shall we say.
And what is it in this one?
In this one, it's the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it's Bucky again.
It's Bucky. That said, I don't think that is the ultimate one.
No.
And the problem is that they don't resolve the ultimate one.
No, not yet. Not yet. I feel like, and again, we're setting up for Infinity War.
But I mean, this is the first time, to a certain extent, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that we've had such a massive dangling plot thread. Like, the movies don't usually end on people still being angry with each other when they're both quote unquote good guys.
And I don't necessarily even feel like Captain at the very end, at least, well, after when Captain America writes that off screen letter that we get.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That Tony Stank gets. That was cute. Come on. Yeah, that was good. That's cute. That's one of those things that if somebody said your name wrong, and I just make fun of you for it forever.
Well, no, yeah, that was perfect. That's what I love about John Tito. It's like, oh, I'm never letting that one go. Yeah, nope. Yeah, that's there forever.
Yep.
Table for one for Mr. Stank. Yeah, just.
But I don't think that he's really mad about them. He's like, look, we have a difference of opinion. Like, just let it go.
But
like,
but that's the thing. Like, there's never that denouement, that part where they come together and like shake hands. He sends him a letter, but that's not like, it does not resolve.
Right.
Like the reason they stop fighting is because they're both hurt too bad. Yeah. Like, they don't stop fighting because they're done fighting. They're stop fighting because they physically can't. Right. And it implies like, well, later we'll finish punching each other.
Right.
And that's frustrating to me from like a film standpoint, because I want my movies to have, and it's not that I want closure, it's just I want the story to finish.
Yeah, but that's not how these work. You remember, these aren't anymore, they're not like that.
No, but that's how these have worked so far.
Right, but this
at no point in this movie does everybody dust off and sort of like, whew, man, we barely made it through this time.
No, because it ends with broken, with people being broken and apart.
Yeah.
Based on your feelings about The Walking Dead, you weren't a big fan of feeling broken and apart. Like, we talked
I get it. It's The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And I mean, literally the guy loses his arm. Yes. So it's classic.
Yeah.
But that's, it's just taken a really long time to get nowhere.
We'll get there.
I know. It's just that there's I don't know. I have more expectations.
Next year, Ryan, you don't have to wait very long.
But even Empire Strikes Back ends with like a, we're safe for now. All right, everybody.
I mean, this also has that thing. Everybody's fine at Avengers headquarters. Everybody's cool. Captain America breaks everybody out of the prison, and then he goes to Wakanda. Yep. And everybody's fine.
Or he goes to Wakanda first and then breaks everybody out.
I think it's vice versa, but okay. Well, but it doesn't really matter.
They show the scenes in the other order.
Either way. No, because he breaks everybody out of prison. The movie ends and they show him and Wakanda putting Bucky on ice.
Yeah. Well, Bucky's choosing to go on ice.
Choosing to go on ice. Yeah. But I agree. I see what you're saying. But this, honestly, for me, and I know this sounds kind of weird and kind of cheesy, this is the Marvel movie that has really made me tear up the most. Like,
really?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just because I don't like seeing all these characters that I like. It's just like there's so much like conflict and like it's for multiple reasons. One, it's tearing up because I'm like, they're doing Spider-Man right.
You nerd.
14-year-old Ian, so happy. Because I'm like, I had Tobey Maguire. I had pizza time.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to show you a video.
I've seen that video.
Pizza time.
I've seen it.
Pizza Parker. Friendly neighborhood. Yep, pizza man.
Yeah. I think my frustration with it is like there's just it. I mean, like they never talked.
No,
they
I know.
Never even tried.
But they're gonna have to work together when Thanos comes around.
Yeah, but what if they had that talk now?
Yeah, but there's no dramatic tension. Why keep what's gonna keep people coming back, Ryan? They have to keep people coming back.
People like the other characters now.
Yeah, but
I mean, we both said our favorite parts were Ant-Man and Spider-Man.
Right. That's
the new guys.
No, but I did also enjoy the conflict between Iron Man and Captain America.
I'm
going
to tell you, halfway through, I did not care anymore.
I really enjoyed the twist, too. I did not see that coming. I really did not.
Which?
The fact that the Winter Soldier killed Iron Man's parents.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I guess that was
brutal, too.
That was good.
Like, the fact, they could have just been like, oh, they show him, like, you know.
They hint at it.
Yeah, they hint at it, but all you see in the beginning is a car crash. You're like, oh, who's that? And you, like, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, wait. Oh, and he goes, I know that road. Oh, no.
Oh,
no. And that moment. And then boom, they're like Sergeant Barnes, boom, like, just bashes him in the head. It's like, oh, it's so brutal. And he chokes Tony Stark's mom with, like, this cold, unfeeling look in his eyes.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, man. And it's like that moment for me, it's like, Tony, don't. And he just like goes for it. And Cap's like, no, wait. that's the last scene, that part is what I get it. Cause it does start to slow its roll. After the airport fight, it slows its roll for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got
but
a big lull.
That to me is where it starts kind of like Iron Man's like, all right, I understand it's not him. Let's figure out what's going on here.
Yeah.
And then he plays right into it.
Yeah. That's the thing. My frustration, I think, with Zemo is the same as my frustration with the Joker in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Or any of those guys who are like, oh, well, I have this perfect plan. It's like, there's no actual way you could have put, like, this is all plot magic, the reason that these things are falling into place like this. And it's kind of annoying. But it's a trope of the genre at this point. You know, some evil mastermind who's literally masterminded every possible tiny move, and it's just going to happen that he sees this video clip at this moment.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, let's talk about the action sequences, though. Then we'll get back to the end of the
movie.
Okay, so we start off with the whole situation, and I don't remember what country it was.
The cold open. It's in Lagos, Nigeria.
That's right. And it's just another, like, one of those, like, It's kind of like a more extreme version of the Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah, open. I mean yeah, this is but it's like this movie is
this is the new Avengers. These
playbook.
Are the new Avengers out on a mission together.
Out on a black op, you know, in a foreign country with no permission.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, stopping bad guys from taking some sort of infectious disease.
Yep, which you know, I had some really great action moments in there. I liked.
All the fighting, all the punching.
I did. I liked Captain America getting knocked out a window and falling. It's pretty good. I was like, oh man, it's brutal.
Yeah. Captain America, like, they made him seem stronger. He definitely throws dudes much further and harder in the beginning of this movie. But I think it really works so that later when he can't do it to Black Panther and Spider-Man, you're like, oh, like
those guys must be strong.
He's not the only guy like this anymore.
And then pretty much do we really get an action sequence up until we don't really get one. A lot of it, that's the one thing I will say too. I do like that a lot of this is character driven.
Yeah, it's still that sort of geopolitical drama.
Like there's, but the action sequences come around, they're great. Like the next major one I can think of is when, when Bucky and Cap and Black Panther are running around.
Yeah, well, Cap like confronts Bucky, and then there's that whole underground running car chase scene.
Oh man,
that's just a pretty great scene. Incredible.
Watching Black Panther just run on all fours like the
first
that,
time
like
we
a
get
human
Black Panther.
A human man running like a cat animal. Oh man, that's pretty cool. It's great. And Captain America just stealing a car. And then that part where Bucky takes that motorcycle where he like punches a guy off, and as he's punching him off, jumps on the motorcycle.
That's good.
And takes it like in a very similar scene to like Red.
Mm-hmm.
When Bruce Willis
gets
out
of the car as he's shooting.
Yeah. The action sequences are pretty great, and they're not like up until that point. They're not really like huge action sequences. Or I guess Bucky also once they capture him getting activated and escaping.
Mm-hmm.
That part where he almost shoots Tony Stark in the face.
Yeah,
and then he catches it with his that look on his face of like, oh crap, I almost got shot.
Yeah,
like I could have been.
Like magic hand watch.
Yeah. Thing. Well, he's like, this guy's not going to stop. He's like, I think that's when he realizes this guy's just not Cap's. But I think that's the thing that Tony sees that Cap doesn't see is, this guy's just not my buddy's buddy. This guy's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the muscle flexing with the helicopter.
Yeah. Where you want to let him leave?
Let's just talk about that. Let's just think about that for a moment. That's a man right there.
I guess he hurt his arm doing that.
Oh no! Did Cap hurt his arm holding the helicopter?
He has a real name too.
You're right. Sorry. Did Steve hurt his arm holding that helicopter?
Yeah, poor Steve.
And then after that, it's not really a big action sequence until the airport, which is like that's the big set piece of the movie.
It's the getting the man together scene.
Yeah, that's the big set piece of the movie, though. Yeah. That airport fight scene is just, that's everything. It's like, all right, nerds, you want to watch all these heroes fight each other.
Here's all these action figures, and we're just going to throw them at each other.
Our action figures together.
Well, and I mean, it's
great. If someone's like, hey, we want you to direct a movie where you get to make toys the toys from your childhood fight each other. I'm like, great.
Well, and the way they do it is good is because they have little character bits in the middle of the fights. Yeah. Everybody sort of does their own thing, and they have dialogue in there. It's not just like, oh, I'm angry and we're punching now. It's everybody gets a little. That's the part. I mean, that's the most fun part of the movie, but it's also the part where the characters really come to life and you get to see like who everybody is.
Well, it's almost like a preview.
Well, like
the
part where I think one of the good bits is where Black Panther comes up against Hawkeye, and he's like, "Hi, I'm Clint.
I don't think we've met.
I don't care. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, there's little moments like they're just quick shots that I really enjoy. That like kind of the same thing with that I'm hoping to see in Infinity War, where it's like where like Scarlet Witch is throwing like these rocks up and Spider-Man's jumping and leaping off them and like doing the webs. It's cool. And it's like, it's cool to watch Iron Man, or it's cool to watch Ant-Man go inside Tony Stark's suit and like mess it up from the inside. Or even when he's riding the arrow. Okay, arrow guy.
Yeah, that was good.
Arrow guy. Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is great.
Yeah.
What a good choice.
I'm glad they just sort of let it seems like they just let Paul Rudd do his own thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I also like when he gets big and he goes like, ho ho ho, just for a moment. His eyes are all like, what?
His eyes are all huge. Yeah. He's all like going crazy.
Oh man.
Well, no, apparently like Paul Rudd's reaction to meeting Captain America the first time was based on Ant-Man's reaction to reading Captain America the first time was based on Paul Rudd's reaction to meeting Chris Evans for the first time. Where he was like, whoa, and like felt his arms. And so they're like, he's like, I'm just going to do that in the movie. Is that okay?
I also enjoy that moment where they're all in prison though later when he's like, Pym always said never trust a Stark. And he goes, who are you? He's like,
come on, man.
Like, come on, man. Jeez.
Yeah, that's cute.
That's great. So,
although it did play against his character because I felt like his character in Ant-Man was pretty against ever going back to prison, and this movie didn't seem to mind.
I mean, I don't know.
They didn't have time to deal with that.
No, they didn't. He's just like, they probably told him, this Captain America wants your help. What?
Yeah.
Well, he seemed really excited about it too. Remember at the end of Ant-Man, like, this guy's looking for you.
He said yes.
Yeah, it's like, is this about the Avengers? Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, that's when.
But yeah, I just love that. I love that little bit of like, this science guy says you're bad. Okay, who are you?
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Well, it's a very Tony Stark reaction.
I mean, poor Paul, that's exactly how Paul would react. Come on, man. Jeez. Yeah. I got nothing.
I can't wait till Ant-Man 2. We'll
talk about that in the back at the ranch. And then, let's see. So after that, there's not really a fight scene again until...
until they show up in Siberia.
Yeah.
And then there's just the... It's so much punching.
It's the knockdown, drag-out fight punching that we all want to see.
They literally do a lot of knocking of downs.
There's some great fight. Like, the part where they're all fighting him and he kicks the shield to Cap. And then,
and then, of course,
there's that shot that's from Civil War, the comic that they had to put in the movie that I enjoy, which is Cap holding the shield like this and Iron Man shooting like a
chest beam at it. Yeah.
Oh, no. And when he's just beating the heck out of him hand to hand and he goes, like, analyzes fight strategy and, like, punches him and Iron Man catches it. Like, it's just like... As a 12-year-old boy inside, I'm like, this is great. They're fighting each other. But as an adult, I'm like, yes, I know they have to fight. As an adult who's like, I enjoy cinema, I'm like, I know this is not art, but it's great.
Well, it's not that it's not art. I was definitely
wrong when I said last year this deserved some sort of award. but it is still really good and still really fun.
I just wish they would. Then
I saw Logan. Did you watch Logan yet?
Yeah, Logan's fantastic.
Logan's really good.
I feel like personally I would have liked it at the end when they're both laying there after they've both been basically beaten up really bad. If they had just exchanged words, just been like, man, like, I'm sorry that he killed your parents. It's pretty messed up.
But
he's all that I have left of my childhood.
He kind of did say that, though, just off camera.
In a letter. There would have been a different...
This guy's shooting repulsor blasts at you.
Yeah,
really,
but after he disables him, they're both laying down on the ground.
Well, they both kind of throw away what... Well, Cap takes it away from Iron Man, but, like, they both kind of throw away what defines them.
Yeah.
Or, well, the physical object that defines them, which is your suit is nothing. And he's like, well, you don't deserve that shield. My dad made that and you don't deserve it. Fine, take it. Like, he doesn't even care anymore. He's like, that's not what I am, I guess. I'm not defined by that. I don't know. I dug that. I dug that. I also dug the moment of stay down. I can do this all day. It's good old Cap saying this.
I really liked the part with Black Panther, where the Black Panther is like, look, these people are consumed with revenge,
absolutely,
and I could be too, and I know you are, and it's time to change.
I feel like it's an
and
audience.
Then he stops the bullet with his hand.
Yeah. I feel like that's an audience test of like, all right, audience, you heard Black Panther. Here's your test. Let's watch these guys fight. Do you like it or not? And I'm like, yeah, I like it. And you're like,
and I'm like, no,
why don't
we
just talk to each other?
Yeah.
I failed the test. You passed. I was like, something. Yeah, fight more.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not the guy who's going to go so far as to say, chop off his head, Cap. I'm like, no, I don't want him to kill Iron Man. I like Iron Man.
Yeah, that would have been really
good. It was close. It was getting there. You saw the fear in his eyes. Yeah. He's like, oh, God, you're going to do it. Or just him punching the heck out of that mask, too. Oh, jeez. It's brutal at the end. It gets a knockdown, drag-out fight.
It is.
It gets real brutal.
It's got knocks and downs.
But yeah, like that's pretty much the movie.
There it is, Captain America: Civil War. They fight a lot.
But I all things considered, I really still enjoyed it the second time. I think it held up as good as I remember the first time. And you know why? Is because the first time I saw it, when I watched Batman vs Superman, I was like, oh, is this movie still going? This movie, I was like, oh, I know a movie's good. Well, I think I've said this before on the show. I know a movie's good when in the, especially in movie theaters, when I have to pee and I forget about it because I've been like, I'm in the movie. And then at the end, I'm like, oh yeah, I got to go do that. Like, it just like, it's like the urge goes away. It's yeah. like, oh, don't worry about that. Well, this is vital. That's for later.
That's why I shouldn't be buying those sodas.
I don't like drinking. I don't like eating at the movie theater. The only thing I can get now where I don't have to do that is the kids pack.
Oh, I always get popcorn and Slurpee. It's a thing.
I know. I love eating popcorn and drinking a big old soda at the movie. But then about midway through the movie, I'm like,
oh. Yeah, see, that's why you get the icy, because you can't pound it. You got to go slower.
It's true.
You get a brain
but thing. That's why I get the kids combo, and it comes just enough popcorn and a little drink and a little and some little snacks.
Little, quote unquote, still a lot.
It's a small pop. It's what a small popcorn
should
be. It's
still a giant tub of soda.
Yeah. No. The kids ones are small, like little cups. Okay. They're not even like red Solo cups. They're like cup, little like Dixie cup size.
Cute.
Like,
it's still like $12.
Yeah, it is. But you know, that's when I treat myself.
Yeah, I think that this movie feels really way too much like an episodic television show and less like a movie.
But did you enjoy it?
Oh yeah, it had fun. But I don't know. It feels weird calling it a movie. It doesn't feel like a movie.
I could see that.
Yeah, it feels like watching, you know, a couple episodes of Westworld back to back.
Well, let me throw this one at you.
Three episodes.
Is Pirates of the Caribbean the second one? Is that a movie?
I mean, I haven't seen that movie in like a decade.
Let's watch it and find out, because that was the first movie I remember with the episodic format of like, that wasn't a full movie. The movie just didn't. They, at the very end, they're like, guess what? We're gonna bring Jack Sparrow back, even though he's dead.
No, but see, that's the thing with. From what I recall of that movie, it ends and then they wink at you.
Yeah, well, because Barbossa comes back and he's like, so like, I'm alive again.
But this one just full on doesn't end. It's just sort of like, well, we stopped.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many things that happen in this movie. It's I was hoping that this movie would rise above what the thing I didn't like about Avengers: Age of Ultron, which is, oh, there's, man, we got a lot of things that have to happen in this for the next few movies to happen.
It doesn't,
and
really.
It doesn't. It doesn't at all.
But it's still better than Avengers: Age of
Ultron. Better than
Age
of Ultron. Sure, they got better at integrating all that stuff into the plot.
Right.
But it's still the same problem. It's still like, right, hey, this isn't. So. It's something that Ant-Man doesn't have. It's something that some of the quote-unquote smaller movies don't have. But right. Because these big ones,
I think
they got so much riding on this.
Don't worry.
They got to hit a lot of buttons.
You're going to get a break next time.
I know.
Don't worry. You're getting a break next time.
That's what I'm hoping.
All right then, Ryan. Out of 10, what do you rate this movie?
I don't know.
What do you
wildly,
rate the season premiere?
I'm wildly inconsistent of season 3 of the Avengers premiere. I'm wildly inconsistent with my rating, so I'm worried about giving it too low. Because it was still fun. It had a lot of really good moments. That's the thing. That's it. It was the moments. This movie was a moments movie, not a whole movie.
That's true.
Like I was really struggling earlier trying to come up with what are the themes of this movie. Because maybe there's
really
a little bit of a half
themes.
Theme of fatherhood that they sort of like try to work on, but never really gets anywhere.
Well, vengeance is a big one. I know that sounds kind of obvious, but it's true. It's like, how do you deal with that feeling of wanting revenge for something?
Yeah. Like, I mean, and that's, but that's not a theme as much as it is like a question that is answered in different ways by different people.
And it's also like, you know, what, there is an element, as jokey as I was joking about it, it is an element of like, you know, how do you balance, it's weird. It's how do you balance two people who you really care about who have opposing views or are causing you to do opposing things? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you balance that?
Yeah.
And the answer is punch each other as much as you can.
That's the answer it delivers for you.
I mean, not necessarily. Okay.
It's the vengeance element.
I'll put it this way. I'm not a fan of movies who are like, let's send an off-screen letter and then we'll try to resolve it.
Yeah.
I know that's lazy writing. But it does a decent job being like, look, I didn't want to tell you that I knew this because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. That was wrong of me. I'm sorry for that. If you need me, you know where to find me. I think that does a good enough job saying, look, I'm not going to be a part of the Avengers anymore. They're yours. I'm done with this. I'm dropping this. And so it does resolve in that way, but it doesn't resolve with him going like, after they're all done punching, going, look, I'm just going to go and you're going to let me go. And the Avengers are yours. Do what you want to do. Bye. And like dropping it. Yes, they do that off screen later. And yes, it is kind of lazy writing. But I would argue in that point, it does resolve in some way.
But I mean, I feel like there could have been some better thematic. Like they had a lot of hooks in there that there could have been like a big like sort of the influence of your father of what you decide to do with your life. Right. Like a lot of the hooks were there, yeah. and they just didn't take them. They didn't. They didn't fulfill that, and they really could have. Especially
watch Guardians too.
Well, but I mean, like, they could have, because there's that element. There's that element in, like, even some of the side stories, like Ant-Man has that.
Okay.
Black Panther has that. Hawkeye has that.
I'm a spoil Guardians too here.
No, I mean, like, yeah, I get it.
But do you think, like, that lesson learned in that movie will affect Infinity War to a point where Star-Lord's like, hey, you guys should not fight like this?
Yeah, but that's, but
I
why
learned
not
a valuable lesson?
Why not
I'm
both?
Going to pass. I know.
Because why are they going to even listen to that guy?
Because sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't.
All right.
So out of 10, what is it you rate?
Out of 10, I want to give it a 6. It's not quite a 7. Oof.
Really?
I'm trying to think of what ratings I've given all the Marvel movies. I forgot to look it up on the spreadsheet. All
right.
Maybe I'll give it a 6.5.
All right.
6.5 giant mans out of a possible 10.
I'm gonna
give it much higher than
that. I'm gonna give it an 8. I think that it's a good movie. I would say was I as crazy about it as I was the first time I saw it? No, but I still think it held up to where I was like, oh, I didn't like suddenly start hating it.
Yeah.
So I'll give it an 8. I'll give it let's see here. I don't even know. Gotta be a Spider-Man one because there's no other option there. I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give it 8 awkward. I'm Spider-Man surrounded by all my heroes and I'm freaking out moments.
There you go. And I don't think it's bad. I think it's a fun movie. It's just, you know, it works well as a season premiere, but it.
I'll give that to you. So Blockbuster or Lackluster?
Oh, it's Blockbuster. You absolutely, see it.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Watch
it's definitely worth watching.
All
still
these
on
movies
Netflix.
Are great.
It's still on Netflix. I feel like this
Except
movie.
Maybe Thor 2.
I think this movie may be one of those ones that actually plays out better if you are doing something else.
Yeah.
This is one of those ones where I was really trying to watch the movie. But it feels like this is one of those ones where if you're sort of half on your phone or eating dinner or something like that, it'll be more fun because you can skip over the boring parts and then watch the fun punching.
So back at the ranch, Ryan.
Yeah. So it was earlier this week, Jack Kirby's 100th birthday.
Yes.
And so in honor of that, there's a lot of stuff about Jack Kirby. Jack Kirby, you may know, he was one of the creators of a lot of the Avengers, including the Wasp. And so Evangeline Lilly, who plays...
He also had not a strong involvement, I wouldn't say creative, but a strong involvement in early Captain America,
too. Yeah, he did.
As well.
But yeah, he created Fantastic Four and a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. But Evangeline Lilly tweeted out a picture of her in the Wasp costume, not with the helmet, not with the wings, but in the Wasp costume in honor of his 100th birthday. But it's also the first picture we see of her in the Wasp costume, which is pretty awesome.
Good for her, though.
She looks kind of like the Wasp, not as brightly colored, which is basically what you expect.
Yep.
So that was cool.
I've watched 2 episodes of The Defender so far.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty good. Spoiler alert, in the second episode, Iron Fist punches Luke Cage, and it's the only thing that can hurt Luke Cage. And there's a moment of, whoa. And there's a moment where Jessica Jones is being interrogated, and then door opens, and it's like, stop everything. You don't have to answer any more questions. Who are you? I'm your lawyer. It's Matt Murdock. Oh, like, nice. Oh, it's coming together. Like, these people. It's kind of like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the moments when I first saw the Avengers start talking to each other.
Oh, nice.
But it's like all these people who I've watched now for, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that's
of,
right.
Like, chit-chat and being, like, I looked at Time Hop the other day, and it was like 3 or 4 years ago. It's like, oh, you should really watch Daredevil. Daredevil's super good. I'm like, oh man, it's been a long time.
It has been. I still haven't seen Daredevil season 2.
It's good. And I would say all of it is pretty much, honestly, all of it is necessary watching.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Which is kind of, because my parents tried to watch it too.
Try to watch Defenders.
My dad has seen all of it. My mom was creeped out by David Tennant and Jessica Jones.
He was
rough. He's a creep, but I'm like, mom, you got to watch this girl like beat this guy. Like, watch this victim beat her aggressor, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I was like, watch this girl. It's awesome. Like, she is so good, too. In fact, so much so my mom was like, really? I'm like, mom, you know how much I love Daredevil. She's like, yeah. I'm like, I think Jessica Jones might be the best of all of them, in my opinion.
Wow.
Luke Cage is good, too. Luke Cage is probably number 2. But, yeah. Anyway. But it's good. It's getting good. Sigourney Weaver. Hearing Sigourney Weaver say words like Kun Lun, I was like, what's happening here? I mean, like, and then I thought about, well, I guess she also did say, are you the key master? Because I'm the gatekeeper.
Yeah, I mean, she's said a lot.
She said a lot of wacky things, but it just, again, it's these high profile actors just like we talked about last time with Ant-Man, saying goofy things that I never thought I'd hear them in a million years say. Because I used to, if you were to tell me that, I know this sounds really dumb to say, but I was a stupid kid. I'm like, well, Ghostbusters, that's a movie. These are comic books. That's a movie. It's okay for her to say weird things there or talk about the Weyland Corporation.
Yeah, Weyland-Yutani
Corporation. But no, she can't say, not like she's saying, oh, well, Captain America. It's like, no, she's saying something about Iron Fist for God's sake. Yeah,
some pretty deep pulls.
Exactly. But it's pretty good so far. Nice. I'm probably going to, as soon as you leave, probably watch episode 3.
Nice.
Or Death Note. I'm not sure which one I'm going to watch.
So Death Note came out on Netflix. I heard that it's maybe terrible, but also maybe it's not.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it and make up my mind.
It might be a so bad it's good kind of a situation.
I'm going to watch it and check it out. I'm curious. But yeah, other than that, I think that's about all I got.
I watched some Rick and Morty.
Yeah, that's great. I don't really have any more Marvel or action movie news.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of stuff. I'm
hoping that Rocky movies stay on sale until
the Rocky movies right now
on sale.
Like every Rocky movie, with the exception of Creed, is like $14 or $15 on iTunes for all of them together.
So bad.
Well, I mean, you're getting like what three good movies.
Rocky Balboa is not that bad.
So yeah, three good movies.
Hey, I want to watch Rocky 3. I want to watch him fight Clubber Lang.
Oh man.
Okay.
Look, I've watched all these movies.
Look, I have too. The first two are like good movies.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying three movies. Three good movies.
No, the first two are good movies.
Mm-hmm.
Three and four are ridiculous good movies.
True.
Because they're like, this is awful.
They're just ridiculous.
He gives Polly a robot.
I know.
Remember that movie about the underdog fighter?
Yeah.
And then eventually, three movies later, he gives him a robot.
Yeah. I think Rocky Balboa is a good movie.
I don't think I actually know if I've ever seen Rocky Balboa.
Nah, it's good. I watched it years ago.
I mean, I know Rocky, but I know Rocky and Rocky too, but like I watched the other ones years ago.
Rocky Balboa is good in the first half, and the second half becomes just a power fantasy. And it's like, come on.
All right. Guys. All right. Well, so I hope they'll stay on sale. So that's going to do it for Captain America Civil War. And that is going to do it for the show this time.
What's next?
Ryan.
Yeah.
Are you ready to delve into the world of magic in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Oh, you haven't really done yet. What you're saying is we had Watson and now we're going to get Sherlock? Is that what's going on?
That's right. Ryan, next time we're watching what does he call himself? The
Sorcerer Supreme?
Sorcerer Supreme, that's right. I was going to say the Master of Magic, but I'm like, that's not right. That's the Sorcerer Supreme himself, Doctor Strange next time.
Yeah.
I think you'll like this because it doesn't necessarily tie in anything else. It's its own story. It's all on its own. All
right.
Perfect. I mean, it does. There's a cute little after credit scene.
All right. How many Iron Man cameos?
There's no Iron Man in this at all. There's no Captain America.
Perfect.
None of that. None of it.
Although I do like those pictures I've seen of what's his name with a beard. Chris Evans with a beard, beardy cap. That seems like something I'm going to be interested in.
I'm waiting for them to officially release that footage because I really want to watch it in good quality. All right. So, yes, thank you so much for joining us. We're in the home stretch, guys.
We're almost done.
And then we'll get back to some other garbage because Halloween's coming and I'm ready to watch some more spectacular garbage. But before that, we gotta finish it. We made this.
There's another Underworld movie we got to watch.
There's so many more Underworld movies.
Yeah, they're never going to stop.
They'll never stop. Nobody even watches them anymore. When I'm not watching that Tom Cruise movie. I'm not watching that Tom Cruise mummy movie.
I'm not watching it.
I refuse to waste my life.
Well, then we'll watch the other two. Wolfman and Frankenstein.
God, no. All right. But join us next time for Doctor Strange. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster, we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.